Com. You can see our show notes, radiosurvivor.com/podcast. This is a listener and reader supported enterprise. To learn more about that, go to Radio Survivor.
Hi, this is Karen Schomer, formerly of The Schomer Show. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Lávese las manos, evite a las personas enfermas y evite tocarse la cara. Hay acciones cotidianas para ayudar a prevenir la propagación de enfermedades respiratorias. Visite cdc.gov/COVID-19, gentileza de la National Association of Broadcasters y de esta estación.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC local news update. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Greene County Legislator William Lawrence reports on his Facebook page that the county will distribute cloth masks to the public this week. On May 4th, from 10 a.m. until noon, Greene County will hand out masks at the Windham Wastewater Treatment Plant on South Street, and also at the Huntertown offices on Route 23A and the Village of Coxsackie offices on Mansion Street. The next day, on Tuesday, May 5th, there will be a mask giveaway from 1 to 3 p.m. in Catskill at the parking lot at the corner of Water and Bridge Street and in the Mental Health Building's parking lot off Mountain Avenue in Cairo. Melanie Lukosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the staff and faculty of Coxsackie Elementary School greeted students and families as a line of vehicles reached up Sunset Boulevard and deep into Mansion Street May 1st, as they all headed to the school to greet teachers in a Ride the Wave parade. Families drove a slow loop around the parking lot as teachers waved, cheered, and called out greetings. Many carried signs of encouragement, and some wore costumes to cheer up students. Quote, "I want my students to know how much I miss them and I love them," unquote, one teacher said. The parade took place about 2 hours before Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that schools would remain closed through the end of the academic year. Physical education teacher Don McDonald will retire from the district in June. Quote, "I am at a point where I am retiring and I am really, really sad that my career has to end this way," unquote, he said. Staff and faculty have made an effort to stay connected with students and families during the shutdown, communicating in previous weeks through video and personalized cards. The reverse parade, which brought elementary students and families to the school, was the most recent effort to connect them with students. Some students were unable to attend the parade, so the event was also live streamed. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. The Columbia paper is reporting the New York State Education Department announced April 24th that the Walter B. Howard Elementary School, a pre-K to 6th grade school in the New Lebanon School District, has been named a 2019-2020 recognition school under the Every Student Succeeds Act plan. Recognition schools are those that demonstrate high academic achievement and strong progress. The list this year identified 582 high-achieving schools statewide. Quote, "It is such an honor to be recognized by the state for the work our staff does every day with our students. It is a testament to our entire staff who are dedicated to making Walter B. Howard a special place for our kids. It is humbling to see that dedication recognized, and I couldn't be prouder of our team," unquote, Principal Andrew Quartz said in a press release. Walter B. Howard was the only elementary, middle, or high school in Greene and Columbia counties named to the list. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union that Rensselaer County officials have announced the first COVID-19 testing sites in the county will open next week. The sites are being established in partnership with IMA Group, LabCorp, and Whitney M. Young Jr. Health Center. A stationary site will be set up at the Hudson Valley Community College in Troy, County Executive Steve McLaughlin said an official opening date has not yet been set for the site, but that it will likely happen sometime next week. Test kits for that location are on the way, he said during a Facebook Live update. Testing in Troy will be available by appointment only, and further details, including a phone number to call, will be announced in the coming days. The remaining two sites will rotate on a weekly basis. The mobile walk-up testing sites are being run in partnership with Whitney Young. The mobile sites will also be by appointment only and will rotate locations and hours based on need and demand. McLaughlin said last week that plans for the testing sites came together, quote, pretty quickly, unquote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union and read more about any of these stories at the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Sunday with a high near 72 and a low around 44. Then on Monday, there's a 20% chance of showers between 11 and 2. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 55 and a low around 34. Tuesday should be sunny with a high near 57 and a low around 36. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Judd Malton of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM, Creative Community Radio.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Joshua Pietzold is reporting for CBS 6 Albany. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced May 1st schools and colleges in New York will remain closed through the end of the academic year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Schools have been closed since March. Since then, schools have been engaged in remote learning techniques to continue classes. The governor says schools will still be required to execute meal provision plans as well as assist in child care options for essential workers. Schools and colleges will be required to come up with plans to eventually reopen in ways that do not put students and essential workers at risk. Those plans will require state approval before they can be carried out. A decision on in-person attendance at summer schools will be made in late May. Cuomo said it is not yet clear when a decision will be made on the 2020-21 academic year, which officially begins July 1st. When asked why regional reopenings are not being considered for schools, Cuomo said it would be too difficult for schools to come up with safety plans in just a few weeks, with so little time left in the academic year. Read the full story at CBS6Albany.com. Questar 3 BOCES is reporting that its component school district's boards of education April 21st unanimously approved the proposed $6.7 million administrative budget for the 2020-21 school year. The administrative budget is the only part of the BOCES budget that component school districts vote on. Budgets for programs and services are dependent on purchases from school districts on a yearly basis. The boards also voted to fill our BOCES Board of Education positions. Mary Keela Daly, Joseph Garland, and John Hill were reelected, and Mary Eurista was elected for the first time. All four will serve three-year terms effective July 1st. Sarah Captain is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Greener Pathways has partnered with the Rensselaer County Public Health Department to develop a texting service to give active users the ability to request Narcan. The service went live April 29th and will be available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Greener Pathways Director Carl Quinn said, and I quote, "What we will run into with some of the people is that they're not all entirely comfortable talking with us on the phone. They're much more comfortable texting. We thought text would be a better thing to try. Some of the people don't have minutes on their phone. They can text over Wi-Fi and not use their minutes," end quote. Rensselaer County began offering the service about 3 weeks ago, Quinn said, adding that about 32 people have used it so far. When someone texts Narcan kit to 2100, they receive a short form to complete. When Greener Pathways receives the form, it then delivers the Narcan. Overdose numbers in Columbia and Greene counties continue to spike during the COVID-19 outbreak. Since March 1st, there have been 19 overdoses, including one fatality in Columbia County. In Greene County, there have also been 19 overdoses since March 1st, with two fatalities. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Brendan J. Lange is reporting for the Times Union. State corrections officials announced this week they will begin releasing incarcerated women who are pregnant or postpartum if they have not committed any violent felony or sex offense and are within 6 months of release. The Department of Corrections and Community Supervision said in a statement, and I quote, "The department will conduct an individualized review and reentry plan for each eligible person to ensure suitable housing and health care for these expectant and current mothers as well as their children," end quote. The Dosey's decision came after 40 New York legislators signed a letter to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo urging him and top state corrections officials to improve conditions in prisons and release those whose poor health could put them at risk if they contact COVID-19. Dosey's on April 30th said that 211 of more than 41,100 incarcerated people are currently positive for the disease, and there have been 10 fatalities. More than 1,000 of the department's 29,000 employees have tested positive, and two have died, the agency reported. You can read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WJXC 91.7 FM.
Eight balloons. No one was buying. All broke loose one afternoon. Eight balloons with strings flying, free to do what they wanted to. One flew up to touch the sun. One thought the highway might be fun. One took a nap in a cactus pile. One stayed to play with a careless child. One tried to taste some bacon frying. One fell in love with a porcupine. Ooh, one looked close in a crocodile's mouth. One sat around till his ear went out. Eight balloons, no one was buying. They broke loose and away they flew, free to float and free to fly and free to where they wanted to.
If only it was so simple.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda, and I'm also a student of Hudson High School, and I'm from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Libri, and I live in Elizabeth.
I'm Lena. I go to school at MC Smith.
Yeah, and we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff.
Yay!
And that's what we're going to do today, but it is also a special day today. Thursday, April 30th, is Poem in Your Pocket Day. And the idea behind Poem in Your Pocket Day is that you would have either one poem or several poems that are small, that are short, that you would carry around in your pocket during the day and you would share them with others, which obviously with our current situation, it's a little difficult to share poems with other people in person. But maybe if you're listening, you can share a favorite poem either with us or with other people in your life. You could send them an email. You could post it on social media. You could share it with your family in person or your roommates. So we thought we'd share some short poems today.
Oh, and I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is that based off the poem, Keep a Poem in Your Pocket?
Maybe. I've never heard of that.
I'm not sure which came first.
But AJ, you wanted to share your poem that you chose first. It's something you wrote, right?
Right. Me. By me. Why judge a person by what they look like? Why make a decision before you look inside their mind? Yes, I know that I am another one of the reminders who tell you not to judge a book by its cover. But some of those people don't really mean it. And so I say, why believe it? Because I know what it feels like to be misjudged and misunderstood. And I know what it's like to be ignored, teased because I'm different and know it. So I asked you again. Why judge a person by what they look like? Why make a decision before you look inside their mind? Because that's not right.
That's nice. That's a good message.
Yeah.
Good job. Wrote that because, well, since you sent out the invite and was like, oh, it's Poem in Your Pocket Day and we need to share a poem. And so I was just thinking, what's the best topic for a poem? And then I just choose myself.
Yeah, that's awesome that you wrote a poem for today's show.
It's a get it done fast. I only have like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's a world premiere of the poem. What was it called again?
Me.
Me by me.
I try not to judge a book by its cover when it comes to people. I can't say that I never do, but I always try to be open-minded. But I judge books by their covers a lot, like actual books.
I know. I know. I do that all the time, too.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a moment to realize when you're judging somebody by the way they look. Like, maybe you see someone that, like, frowns or doesn't make eye contact, or, and you might think, like, that person's a grump. And then sometimes you have to realize that you're making that assumption and actually try to connect with them and see. Maybe they're a really nice person, and that's just how they hold their face sometimes.
I have a comment. In the book Pollyanna, there was actually something like that, where there was a man who never talked to anyone and always frowned. And Pollyanna didn't even put this in mind, I think. Well, she did, but she didn't really make much notice of it. And she was just, like, all talking to her, like, hi, how are you? Nice day. And then she began to really make friends with him. And I think that's a perfect example.
I have a poem to share, too, I think. I actually remembered to bring one this week.
Woo! Yay!
And, oh my gosh. So, I chose this poem because of, like, I need to go into a bit of backstory involving, like, television, but it ties into this poem I found. A long time ago, when I was younger, there was a kind of spinoff of the Goosebumps TV show called R.L. Stine's Haunting Hour. And these episodes, like, I never knew who they were for because they ranged in, like, severity and tone and content from, like, something that would be normal for a Goosebumps book for, like, maybe a 12-year-old to really philosophical, existential stuff that most adults probably wouldn't be able to grasp. And this was one of the existential episodes. And it, this boy, his whole town is just slowly disappearing except for this one man who wears the same outfit as a scarecrow in his field. And his sister disappears, his family disappears, everyone disappears except him and this man, until at the end when finally it's implied that him and the man disappear and it's the end of the world. And it was such a weird episode, and I remember it so vividly because it had this poem by T.S. Eliot called The Hollow Men as a theme in it throughout the entire episode. It's a long poem, but it has that famous line of, so this is how the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. And that's how the episode ended, with that poem. I'll read the first verse because it's the verse I remember the most. And it's also kind of a long poem and I don't want to take up too much time. But it's The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless as wind in dry grass or rats feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Those who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom remember us, if at all, not as lost, violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. So yeah, cool. I remember that poem vividly because of that episode.
Very deepish?
It is deep. It was a weird episode, too. It really felt like it didn't belong in that show. It felt more like something that would belong in Black Mirror. But it was just chilling there in an R.L. Stine Haunting Hour episode, and I thought about it for a real long time. It freaked me out for a really long time, but it was good.
Awesome.
I think R.L. Stine's Haunting Hour is actually still on Netflix if you want to watch it, and you can tell just how the tone varies from episode to episode, from, like, being something obviously aimed at little kids to something that probably adults could get something out of. Well, yeah, I was around 13 when I probably saw that episode for the first time, and I was not ready to process it. I was like, what is happening? But yeah, that poem ties into something that I've always loved. Yeah.
I'm curious to see that. I'll have to see if I can track down that R.L. Stine show. He's been haunting children for years.
He really has.
I read his books when I was a kid.
Yeah, he got the books. He has the TV show, the original TV show from, like, the 19-somethings. He has that R.L. Stine's Haunting Hour out. And I think he had two movies made out of his books, right? There were two Goosebumps movies, I think. I remember there vaguely being two. There may have just been one. But I know I saw one, so there was at least one.
So yeah, check that out. And you can check out that T.S. Eliot poem, too, if you want to read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mashuda, did you have a poem you wanted to share?
So before the poem, I just wanted to say, like, since we were talking about, like, the judging by the book, and, you know, in psychology, like, it takes, like, 10 seconds, like, for people to judge, like, have first impression on people, and then that first impression just stays with you. So basically,
sometimes they're good first impressions.
Yeah, sometimes they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like for an interview, for example, if you do something bad, but you still get hired, like that first impression that you did something bad stays with you since you're like working. Yeah. So the poem I bought was Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of art are bought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies' teeth at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instruction on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies and ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around the children. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves. And as we put ourselves back together, we once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have been prepared our parents for a burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just found this poem and I don't know, it just spoke to me. It's like, I don't know, like during this time, it's like everyone's saying the world's going to end and it's like apocalyptic era going around and, you know, I don't know. It's just that, you know, staying home and, you know, life just ends.
It's almost like there's like a very, very few amount of positive things to come out of this. I get to eat dinner with my whole family more often because I don't have classes. Usually I'd have to eat by myself or one of my parents would have to eat by themselves. I very rarely had the whole family around for a meal, but now that happens more often. So I think, I feel like that scenario might relate to the poem a bit more because of the table and the food motifs and all that.
Yeah, I like Joe Harjo a lot too. Her poems are really nice. She's the U.S. Poet Laureate currently. So
maybe that's why that sounded familiar, because I remember you talking about Poet Laureate and her. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why it sounded so familiar, because the entire time I'm like, I feel like I've heard this before.
We may have. I think we've shared some of her poems.
It's a very good poem. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Excellent. Lena, do you have a poem to share?
Yes. I copied mine down. It's called Eagles Can Fly.
This is from a video game.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this poem. I love this game. It's so subversive. But go on.
The poem is called Eagles Can Fly. Monkeys can climb. Crickets can leap. Horses can race. Owls can seek. Cheetahs can run. Eagles can fly. People can try. But that's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
So that's based on a computer game or a video game?
It's a video game called Doki Doki Literature Club, which was marketed on Steam as an anime pastel pink cute dating sim. But halfway through the game, and not even halfway, I think like a good third of the way through the game, so after you're lured into a false sense of security, this is just a cute dating sim, it turns into a horror game. And I love it. It's subversive, it totally messes with your expectations, and there's barely anything to give away what's actually happening below the surface. Like, I wouldn't say what it's about anymore because I'd hate to spoil it. I feel like it's something you have to experience for yourself, either by watching a playthrough or playing it yourself.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I love this game.
And that was a very short poem. Extra points to Lena for the shortness of that poem.
Yay.
All right. I'll read a poem too. Let's see which one. So I'm going to read a poem from Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, which was put out by the Academy of American Poets with Bruno Navasky. I'm going to read the first book by Rita Dove. And this is from a book where all of the poems are fit on one page. And the idea is that if it was not a library book, that you could tear the page out of the book and carry it around in your pocket and actually like give it away. But yeah, so this is the first book by Rita Dove. Open it. Go ahead. It won't bite. Well, maybe a little, more a nip like, a tingle. It's pleasurable, really. You see, it keeps on opening. You may fall in. Sure, it's hard to get started. Remember learning to use knife and fork? Dig in, you'll never reach bottom. It's not like it's the end of the world, just the world as you think you know it. I hadn't actually read this one in a little while, and I didn't read it all the way through. I forgot it also mentions the end of the world. I didn't mean for that to be a theme. But that's nice. It's not.
I mean, Lena's doesn't reference the end of the world. It's just from a horror game.
Just creeping y'all out. But yeah, like, it's not like it's the end of the world, just the world as you think you know it, which maybe we can relate to in this moment. But yeah, I love this book of poems. It's very nice. So has anyone else been reading anything this week?
I'm in a really interesting unit of creative writing right now where we have to analyze fairy tales and take the Disney versions and compare them to the original versions.
Which are very different, usually.
And then write our own retelling of it, which is, I can't wait, because I am going to write Cinderella as a horror and no one can tell me I can't.
I mean, Cinderella is kind of a horror.
In the original. In the original telling, yes. In my telling, I'm planning to go for a different angle.
How is Cinderella an original, like, horror story?
In the original Cinderella, it's not so much a horror in the original, so much as that it's a horror for the villains. I believe the stepsisters have to amputate their feet in order to fit into the glass slipper and try to fool the prince.
Yep.
It's not good. But that's not where I'm going with my telling, because I can't go that way with my telling. I'd just be retelling the original. I'm going for a different angle, where Cinderella is actually going to be the villain. But I can't wait. What are you thinking of doing for your retelling, Mashuda?
Probably writing my own tale of Hansel and Gretel.
That's a good one.
I'm going to take it in a different path.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I would do.
I know my friend Mackenzie is doing a Beauty and the Beast retelling because that's her favorite fairy tale ever. It's also my favorite fairy tale ever, but I don't want to do the same thing as her. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know how I'd retell Beauty and the Beast. I mean, I am a sucker for Beauty and the Beast stories. I love them. I don't know how I can make them better. It is one of those things that I cannot ever trust myself to critique because I just love it so much. So I would just, like, let other people deal with that, but I just hear, like, I love it. I love it so much. It's so cute. It's precious. But I love those kinds of stories, so I don't even know how I could retell it.
Yeah. For Hansel and Gretel, is like, you know, for the original one, it's like the mother doesn't care, and the father just listens to the mother. And, like, for the retelling, like the Disney version, the movie, you know, the mother actually cares. But the father doesn't. So, like, I'm not going to put that in. Because, like, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's confusing.
Does anyone else have anything they want to share? No? I wanted to let everyone know about an online book festival that's happening this coming weekend. So, we all know how much we love the Hudson Children's Book Festival. And it was sadly canceled this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. And so we're going to be missing that this weekend, but there's another book festival that's all online called Everywhere Book Fest, and it's a virtual celebration of authors, books, and readers that brings the book festival experience to everyone. On May 1st to 2nd, the book festival will open its virtual doors and unveil 2 free full days of live and pre-recorded sessions with your favorite picture book, middle grade, and young adult authors. And so you can access that, learn more about it at everywherebookfest.com. And it has some authors participating that have been to the book fest in the past. So Jacqueline Woodson, Jason Reynolds, Gail Carson Levine, Sarah Mlynowski, as well as Kayla Miller, who was supposed to be coming this year to the book festival. And then Mahogany L. Brown, who's been doing some programming with the library, is also taking part in that. And a number of other authors and illustrators that we've talked about on the show. So you should definitely check out everywherebookfest.com. They have a list of participating authors and the schedule of events on the website. So highly suggested.
Awesome.
I think we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a great week and stays safe and healthy and finds lots of great books to read. Maybe you'll check out the Everywhere Book Fest. Maybe you'll think about poems you want to share with people on April 30th or fairy tales that you would like to turn into horror stories. That could be fun. Maybe we'll talk about fairy tales next week. Maybe. But yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Hope everyone has a great week. Happy reading.
Bye.
कभी जिंदगी में बड़े मुश्किलें तो मुझे तू संभाले तुझे मैं संभाले
मिल जाए इस तरह दो लहरे जिस तरह मिल जाए इस तरह दो लहरे जिस तरह फिर हो ना जुदा काली वादा रहा तू है वही दिल में जिसे अपना कहा
Nobody. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody picks me peaches or pears. Nobody offers me candies or cokes. Nobody listens or laughs at my jokes. Nobody helps when I get in a fight. Nobody does all my homework at night. Nobody misses me. Nobody cries. Nobody thinks I'm a wonderful guy. So if you ask me who's my best friend in a whiz, I'll stand up and tell you that nobody is. But yesterday night, I got quite a scare. I woke up and nobody just wasn't there. I called out and reached out for nobody's hand in the darkness where nobody usually stands. Then I poked through the house in each cranny and nook, but I found somebody each place I looked. And I search till I'm tired, and now with the dawn, there's no doubt about it. Nobody's gone.
Night Voice 7 FM. Accra, Catskill, Chatham, Coxsackie, East Chatham, West Chatham, North Chatham, and Old Chatham.
WGXE is asking if you are doing anything to help your community during the COVID-19 outbreak, please get in touch with WGXE. Your community radio station is here to amplify your story, help corral more volunteers, or raise funds or supplies for the needy. If you are working to make sure